Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Tuesday, the 26th of October, 2021. I'm joined by Thomas, and today we're going to be talking about Biden's gross attempt to subvert the Let's Go Brandon meme, Noam Chomsky's mask-off moment when it comes to unvaccinated people, and how Fauci is a liar and a puppy torturer, and I'm not exaggerating that at all. But anyway, before we begin, on the website we've got a bunch of stuff, but I wanted to talk about the critical race theory and critical theory stuff that Thomas and I have been doing, because we've been putting a lot of work into this and I think it's really paying off. So we've got a critical race theory and overview, so that's something that Callum and myself have done, talking about where critical race theory has come from, and that ties into the origin of intersectionality, because these things are basically done by the same people for the same reasons, and they all come out of critical theory, which is Thomas speciality, which we've recorded one podcast on, and we recorded another one yesterday, so that should be up later this week. And when Callum's finished playing hooky, finished skiving, no, I'm just joking, he's just off sick. When Callum's back, we're going to carry on with the critical race theory stuff. The next one will be looking at the theories in critical race theory, which should be interesting. And on Friday, we have the gold tier Zoom call for anyone who wishes to join us just for a hangout, have some fun. Anyway, let's get right into the news as Callum rips off Keemstar. So, Joe Biden, as you may well be aware, is the most popular president in the history of the United States, by a large margin as well. And this has been manifested from back in September, the start of September, with the chant that has been going around at college football games that was F Joe Biden. Let's play an example. So that's just, you know, people chanting how much they love their dear president. This carried on for weeks in the particular New York Post report. For the second straight week, F. Joe Biden chants have broken out of college football games across the country. There have been multiple instances recorded and shared across social media throughout the weekend slate of games. So this is a popular meme for some reason. And there were lots and lots of examples of this. Fox News documented a bunch. If you just want to scroll down this one, you can just see like all of the, again, full stadiums with lots of people chanting F. Joe Biden. And Donald Trump Jr. predicted this trend would continue because nobody likes Biden, it seems. When you look at Afghanistan, and I can go through 50 points on it, billions of equipment left our enemies, giving them a kill list of American citizens, biometric scanners, blah, 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 the list goes on. So, you know, there's lots of reasons why people might be enchanted with the Biden presidency. And then this basically got around to Joe Biden. And so on 9/11, the 20th anniversary, he was asked, what did he think of it? And this was his response.
I'm thinking of, you know, what are the people who died? What would they be thinking? They think this makes sense for us to be in this kind of thing where you ride down the street and someone has a sign saying F so-and-so? Or, I mean, it's not who we are.
Now, I would say maybe it's a little bit gross to try and play on the dead. to stop your political opponents being really outraged at the things that you're doing during your obviously legitimate presidency. But no, he's fine with that. It's just, what would the dead think? I don't know. I'm not going to make any more comments about that. Anyway, so come October, it starts breaking out into what I guess we'll call the mainstream, which is the NFL games. And so on Sunday, at the Old Road Twitter account shared videos of F. Joe Biden chants, post another clip of the chant being heard during the New York Jets game against the Tennessee Titans game on Sunday. I don't follow whatever NFL is, so whatever sport that is, American football, I assume. I think it is. Mm-hmm. But the account also tweeted smaller chants being sung at unnamed live music venues and outdoor performances. It was also heard at the Ryder Cup as fans celebrated the team's victory over the Europeans on September the 25th. So quite widespread resistance mm-hmm. to the Biden administration, popular resistance. And it turned out to be something of a unifying force, as there was video of baseball fans exiting Citi Field in New York with both Yankees and Mets fans coming together to boisterously chant F. Joe Biden. The great Brilliant. Unifier. Yes. I mean, normally that's not the sort of thing you can really do, get opposing teams to be on the same side on something. I mean, they are there to oppose each other. And yet this was more important. And even in his hometown of Scranton, there was an F. Joe Biden chant. He passed through in a motorcade, and he was welcomed by people lining the streets chanting F. Joe Biden. A group of people with the American flag and several pro-Trump flags yelled that as the president entered Scranton. He was visiting the Commonwealth to push his Build Back Better proposal. And this transmogrified into the more... I guess we'd say conservative-friendly phrase, Let's Go Brandon, because of a mistake that was made at a NASCAR event. Let's play the clip.
Oh, my God, it's just such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me, as you can hear the chants from the crowd, Let's Go Brandon. Brandon, That's you right. told me you were going to kind of hang back those first two stages and just watch and learn. What did you learn that helped you there in those closing laps?
So what's happening is that there's a race car driver called Brandon, and he's being interviewed about the race he's just gone through, and the crowd are chanting F. Joe Biden, and it's very audibly F. Joe Biden. And so the reporter, the NBC reporter, is like, oh, look, they're chanting Let's Go Brandon. And everyone's like, obviously not. I mean, it's such an obviously transparent attempt to cover up the fact that Joe Biden is the most popular president ever.
Yeah.
And so this Let's Go Brandon meme took over the internet. This was everywhere. And this was at the Talladega Super Speedway, where Brandon Brown had won a NASCAR race, and sportscaster Kelly Stavast had asked him about it. And so this went everywhere. If we can scroll down, I think they've got some examples of it in here. Oh, no, they don't. They're just talking about the backstory. But that's fine. But you can see, like, you know, it's getting everywhere. It's just become a popular meme among people who dislike Joe Biden. And so this even made it to the Congressional House. If we get to the next one, Republican Representative Bill Posley of Florida took to the House floor and blasted President Biden's Build Back Better economic agenda as being unable to pass a straight face test because his Build Back Better bill is laughable and is going to liquidate the American economy. Based on the false premise that he would unite America, President Biden got into the Oval Office. Well, in his defense, he does seem to have done some uniting. And my friends on the other side of the aisle gained the razor-thin majority in the House and Senate, and he concluded this speech by saying that Americans want Democrats to help put America back where you found it and leave it the hell alone. Let's go, Brandon. Which is quite the act of resistance. This became a popular song that was all over the internet. A chap called Bryson Gray wrote a song called Let's Go Brandon, mocking President Joe Biden, and that went to number one on the iTunes chart. Brilliant. And got millions of views on YouTube. Again, people aren't very happy with Joe Biden, are they? This song takes swipes at the president over chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, the situation on the border, his cognitive abilities, and handling of the pandemic. And then that was what got it yeeted from YouTube, apparently. You have the next one? This was deleted from YouTube because apparently it had medical misinformation in it.
What was the medical information involved?
Yeah, there wasn't any medical information involved. in the song. Nothing to do with that. It's all to do with his tyrannical approach to lockdowns, I believe.
Right.
Like I said, I couldn't go to YouTube to listen to the song because they'd censored it.
What a shame.
But definitely not done because it was a kind of public humiliation for Joe Biden. And there's definitely no left-leaning bias at YouTube.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, the author, Bryson Gray, just posted to Twitter going, well, what medical misinformation's in it? You know, give me some information. He got striked for this, so he couldn't publish anything for a week. So thanks, YouTube. That's nice. But what kind of reaction should the Biden administration have to this Let's Go Brandon meme? What do you think?
Well, if I were them, I would go along with it because it's quite funny. And I don't see anything they've got to gain from actually trying to resist it.
I'd probably just ignore it. I'd probably just be like, yeah, look, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other. We're committed Democrats. We're really in favor of the system as it is, and we're not radical lunatics. But that would be a normal thing to do. Instead, what the Biden administration did was, what I would dare say, deeply cynical, and the sort of thing that I suppose a man who stood on the graves of the victims of 9/11 would do as well. So recently, 2 days ago, Biden's POTUS account on Twitter posted a video of him with a disabled man called Brandon.
Right.
What an interesting coincidence that is.
Yes, indeed.
He says, I'm fighting every day to pass my Build Back Better agenda for folks like Brandon. His story is like so many I've heard across the country. Folks just looking for a fighting chance to be treated with the dignity they deserve. And that's what my agenda is all about.
Mm. Yeah.
Really. So you're gonna not address the people who are concerned that they don't like your presidency, they don't like the things you're doing.
This is a few steps further than just accepting a joke at your expense, isn't it?
Yes. And I mean, there are lots of legitimate complaints about what Biden is doing, his executive presidency, and the scale of what he's trying to achieve. He is the most popular president in history, so maybe you could make that argument.
Yeah.
But he's not making that argument. He's just powering through anyway. And his presidency seems to be vaguely false in many ways. Like you remember the picture of the false White House where he got his vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. Why have a set? You actually have the White House. Like, you are the president. Why not just do it there? Why get a false one?
It makes no sense at all.
No, and various other things like this. But I find this deeply, deeply cynical, attempting to essentially subvert the meme by hiding behind a disabled person called Brandon, who, of course, agrees with absolutely everything Joe Biden is doing. But the thing is, what happens if you successfully subvert the Let's Go Brandon meme? Well, they're just going to revert to what it was before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So people yesterday just returned to chanting F Joe Biden, this time in New York. So video footage of New York City shows thousands of police, fire, EMS, and other city workers protesting against vaccine mandates, calling out Democrat Mayor Bill de Blasio and President Joe Biden by name and showing support for Republican candidate Curtis Sliwa. The footage of the protest shows a large contingent of protesters moving throughout the city, chanting various slogans in unison like, hold the line, F Joe Biden, F de Blasio, we will not comply and we want Curtis. So not really the optics win I think the Biden administration was going for here.
No.
But they haven't had many optics wins generally, have they?
No.
I mean, I'm not very impressed with how they're handling things. And again, there seems to be this bizarre feeling in the Biden administration. And this was highlighted by Psaki the other day, where she was asked, well, like, you know, how can you, are you guaranteeing that this $3.5 trillion bill is going to do nothing to the national debt? And she's like, yes. I was like, well, how can Americans take your word for that? It's like, because they can.
And they just will.
Yeah, they just will. And it's like, right, but further committing to the narrative doesn't make the narrative true and it doesn't persuade people. It just makes it look like you're kind of out of touch with reality and you don't have any particular other avenues to go down to explore. You know, if you're just going to write, I'm stopping here and I'm just holding my line here and I don't care what your criticisms are, I mean, it makes you look vaguely dictatorial, to be honest.
Well, yeah, it's an unashamed public attempt to thicken the skin suit.
Yeah,
really,
it is. Yeah, and just to be clear on the Psaki's wonderful rebuttal on it, just won't cost more money. Yeah, it will, because I mean, they're thinking, what we're going to do is tax people. And in fact, we should have covered this. Actually, I should have got this up, but it only came up. I think it was yesterday. Was it Biden's economic minister who wants to tax uncashed gains, capital gains, where basically is if your house, if you bought your house for 100,000 and you could now sell it for 300,000, they want to tax the money you haven't cashed in on.
Right.
Yes. It's mad. But this, I mean, it's just a suggestion. I'm sure they're not insane enough to do it. But the point being is that they're looking at these ridiculous prospects to start raising funds because they know they're not going to be able to cover all of this.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you say, it's the Laffer curve. In fact, someone corrected me the other day, it's the Laffer curve that is just a calculation that shows that basically when you think, okay, I'm going to raise taxes to get more money, well, you don't get as much money as you're expecting to get because people start moving their assets. They start taking their money out of the system so you can't tax it. And so them saying, well, we're just going to raise taxes on the rich, quote unquote, whoever that means, well, that's going to be anyone with any kind of resources in the end because they're not going to raise the money they're expecting. So
yeah.
They know they're lying.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was just a short thing there because we've got a much longer thing to get into later. So yes, Joe Biden trying to subvert the meme in a really gross way.
Yeah. I mean, he is almost unifying the country in a way that's nearly as effective as Donald Trump did, but in the reverse.
Yeah.
It's quite extraordinary. But there is someone else who has been trending on Twitter again. He hasn't been no-platformed or cancelled just yet. And it's Noam Chomsky.
Ah, Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky. The darling of left-wing intellectuals.
Yes, the famous anarcho-syndicalist, which is kind of ironic given what we're discussing. But he's been trending on Twitter again, and for good reason. And you may recall some time ago in the summer that Professor Chomsky made his position on anti-vaxxers pretty clear. In short, saying, which is covered in The Independent here, that those who opt against vaccination, irrespective of their reasons, should be all but officially ostracised from society. The Independent...
It's very inclusive.
Very inclusive. The Independent reported...
Very Chomsky, progressive.
Yeah,
God.
Chomsky to have said that while he disagreed with the policy, the policy of mandatory vaccines, that is, he thought those who refused jabs should isolate because they become a danger to the community.
Did he explain how?
Not really, no.
Right. Okay, well, that's a bizarre statement.
Yeah, I mean, well, he does elaborate, but I'm going to withhold on how he elaborates for the sake of argument for now. But he says that people who refuse to accept vaccines, I think the right response for them is not to force them, but rather to insist that they be isolated.
So ostracism rather than just forced vaccination.
Yeah.
But as if ostracism isn't a form of coercion in this context.
Yes, which is exactly what he himself would have argued about several decades ago.
Yeah.
But this isn't his mature position. He's actually proceeded to go slightly further than this.
Right.
Going as far as to claim that vaccine mandates should be upheld, even if it leads to starvations.
What?
Yes. So,
oh, I love the mask coming fully off here.
Yes. That's
libertarian communist my ass.
Yes, so if we could move to the first video clip, which is this one. Yep. We will see what he says.
When you talk about folks having the freedom to, you know, separate if they don't want to abide by these vaccine mandates, what would that look like on a practical level? Does that mean that folks need to just stay home and have like groceries delivered to them? Does it mean like separated communities of folks who are unvaccinated, or just, you know, how do you think this would practically play out?
Same way as with people who say that I don't want to accept traffic rules. I suppose there were people who said it's an attack on my liberty to make me stop at a red light. It's government overreach. We don't want the state to have that power over my private life. Well, such people have to be, they should have the decency to remove themselves from the community. If they refuse to do that, then measures have to be taken to safeguard the community from them. Then comes the practical question that you ask, how can we get food to them? Well, that's actually their problem. Of course, if they really become destitute, then yes, you'd have to move in with some measure to secure their survival, just as you do with people in jail, for example. But that's really not the issue.
So,
Noam Chomsky reporting from some cave in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with him?
I don't.
Well, he's 90, isn't he?
So, he is, enough. What, 92, 93, yeah. Something like that. But yeah, he basically said, how are people going to eat? That's their problem. That's their problem. Not towing the state's line.
Have you ever read Peter Kropotkin?
I've not.
Right. So Kropotkin was a 19th century Russian anarchist communist, right? And he wrote a series of articles that were compiled into what is a book called The Conquest of Bread. And this is what BreadTube call themselves. They named themselves after. Right. So he's like a kind of like anarcho-communist godfather of the left. And Chomsky has arrived at his position when he's addressing the criticism. Well, what if people just don't really want to work on the communes and in the society? What happens then? And Kropotkin's like, well, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But people keep pressing him. He's like, well, I mean, if that happens, we'll just have to ostracize them. We'll just have to force them to leave. You know, they'll just be forced to go. And it's like, yeah, but you intend a world system of, you know, international proletarian uprising. Where could they go? You know, were they going to just go to the capitalist countries or something?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so Kropotkin and Chomsky have harmonized at this point we'll just have to ostracize those wrong thinkers we don't like.
Yes, pretty much. I mean, hunger, I mean, he's always kind of assessed things from a very moralistic position, Chomsky. Mm. And you can extend that to his argument in favor of free speech of late, given that it's been coming more and more at his expense, may have something more to do with that. But hunger on moral grounds is something that Chomsky himself has constantly said should never be used as a tool for political coercion. I think the majority of moral people would argue for that point. Mm-hmm. But on this occasion, he's quite literally saying that it's their problem that the anti-vax can't get food and that it's to their detriment that they don't want to toe the line that the state is trying to push onto them.
I mean, it just seems like a total reversal. Because I've watched enough Chomsky lectures to know that he's totally against this kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Like, he's normally, I mean, libertarian-ish, you know, he normally doesn't like state intervention or oppression.
Up to this point, he's been one of the most consistent anti-authoritarian speakers, to his credit. I almost find myself sympathising with him on a lot of principles. He's thrown all of that into the fire here.
That's why I don't hate Chomsky, because he might be bonkers, but like, he's not evil, or at least I didn't think he was evil.
No, but this has got to be the most misguided thing he's ever said, because as sinister as this comes across, he's missing out on a few things that are really obvious as well. And maybe I'm just being thick and I'm missing something here.
Okay,
but you know this link between the anti-vaxxers and Trump support?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if that's true, then many of those he's claiming that deserve to starve inadvertently have hold over the means of production when it comes to food. They're farmers, aren't they?
A lot of them will be, yeah.
A lot of them will be farmers. Yeah. So I don't know exactly how this is going to work out in practice. Wouldn't it be a matter of the distributors refusing to cooperate with them, given that they could be seen as a potential threat of spreading the virus to the supermarkets through the food, or something
possibly
like that?
But possibly, but I'm more interested at the idea that he, and I agree that there probably is a large partisan divide in America over vaccine uptake rates, and so it's hard not to see this as just a partisan attack, right? Mm-hmm. It looks like him being like, well, you know, the people who are going to be ostracized are people who are basically right-wingers.
Yeah. Yeah. But this interference with the supply chains surely is going to have more of a knock-on effect for those who are more inclined to take the vaccine than those who are not, given that the producers could say, fine, we'll just keep our food.
Well, they absolutely could. And yes, that's the case. But you remember, Chomsky is guilty, as all socialists are, of systemic thought. So they don't look at society as being made up of various groups that in ways are kind of autonomous and then interact across boundaries with one another. So he's looking at the position of the sort of deified state, which is like, well, the state will just take that and say, well, do that, take that, and it will ostracize those people and everything will be perfect. You know, and it's like, yeah, but that's not how it will work, because you'll get lots of, you know, farmers who own their land saying, get bent, you know, I'm going to feed unvaccinated people and not vaccinated people, and so you guys in the cities, not my problem.
Yeah, and this is quite literally the system that we have.
Yeah.
So he's quite, I mean, the fact that he renders the practical implications as secondary, I'm afraid, is, well, I think, a reflection of everything that you have just alluded to.
Yeah.
He's appealing to a state that does not exist.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But that's always the socialist way, though, isn't it? You know, it's assumed that the state is some sort of deity that hovers over society, just intervening as God answers prayers, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's how they view it.
Yeah, but it's not doing anything for those who believe, who genuinely believe in socialism for those reasons, because they're going to go without food ultimately.
Yeah. Well, yes, if Chomsky got his way, yeah,
you would think he'd at least be sympathetic to those people, but it doesn't seem to have crossed his mind. But anyway, this clip has led to another video resurfacing, the video that the Independent were discussing, and when Chomsky was being interviewed by Kurtz from Theories of Everything, and I believe it's this one here.
Right, okay.
Okay, we'll move on to question 33, the next one. Err on again. What are your thoughts on mandating vaccines?
Well, it's a mixed story. I think people who refuse to accept vaccines, I think the right response for them is not to force them to, but rather to insist that they be isolated. If so people decide I am willing to be a danger to the community by refusing a vaccine, they should then say, well, I also have the decency to isolate myself. Okay, I don't want a vaccine, but I don't have the right to run around harming people. I'll just... That should be a convention. Enforcing is a different question. It should be understood, and we should try to get it to be understood. If it really reaches the point where they are severely endangering people, then of course you have to do something about it. So if someone, if smallpox turns out to become rampant again, and some people are insisting on running around to public places where they might have smallpox, well, you've got to do something about it.
That's smallpox. Amazing. Coronavirus and smallpox. But B, it kind of presupposes that vaccines aren't effective.
Yeah.
How could they be a danger to the vaccinated if the vaccines work? No.
Well, yes, exactly.
And, you know, it seems that the vaccines do have some sort of prophylactic effect in protecting people from coronavirus, as you'd expect. It is a vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, so why not just let people make their own decisions?
Well, exactly. But I actually think it's a little bit... I don't want to criticize Professor Chomsky too much, but it almost strikes me as in bad faith slightly to talk about... COVID and smallpox as if they're equally as bad as one another.
Oh, it's absurd.
I mean, I've done some research into this. The mortality rate of smallpox is 30%. To COVID, that's 3.4%. I mean, this is outright fear-mongering. And on top of that, smallpox, I'm pretty sure, is far more contagious as well. I mean, if COVID's mortality rate was far, far higher.
If it was 10 times higher, maybe I'd agree with him.
Yeah, and then that would justify perhaps more state coercion. I think that the anti-vax move would probably amount to far, far less, because a lot of these people just ultimately want their freedoms back, because I don't think ultimately the coercive force that's currently in place justifies the level of the threat.
No.
And they think that something broader like a broader strategy might be at play here.
Absolutely.
They're not completely wrong.
No.
I mean, Neil Oliver, on an absolutely outstanding segment a few weeks ago on GB News, basically said that we are sleepwalking into this, almost finding comfort in hysteria.
Mm.
And he said that, when we were all panicking about fuel, that we almost seemed to find some sort of solitude in panicking over things. And it's becoming increasingly hard to resist conspiracy theories because the government seems to be doing everything possible. The media are mobilising around it to spread this panic.
Well, this was what Jacinda Ardern, the New Zealand Führer, said the other day.
Führer.
Well, I mean it. She's a Nazi. She's, you know, the joyously creating two tiers of citizens. But she said that the vaccine is our armour against COVID. It's like, well, I mean, it's got a protective effect, no doubt, but it's not perfect. And in the UK, we went through this yesterday, 1,000 people in the last week or something had died of COVID who had been vaccinated, and 500 people who were unvaccinated had died. Now, that's not too surprising, given how 70% of the population has had two vaccines at this point. So, you know, but the point is, it's not an infallible protection, but she was presenting it entirely in a one-sided narrative, saying, oh, well, you will be safe if you have the vaccine, you will not be safe if you don't have the vaccine. It's like, that's not true. I haven't had the vaccine, I've had COVID. So I'm you know, I have COVID antibodies in me, whereas people who've had the vaccine can die from it and catch it and spread it, as Boris pointed out. So this like, it's amazing that Chomsky has bought into this kind of narrative, where it's like the unvaccinated are threatening the vaccinated. No, the vaccinated can spread the virus and they can die from the virus, and the unvaccinated don't have to, you know, it's a 3% mortality rate.
Yeah.
So, you know, 97% chance of surviving the virus.
Yeah, but
You know.
I mean, it's especially disappointing as well that there is this assumption that those who opt not to take the vaccine are consciously making themselves a danger to others when they know this is not true.
Yeah, and then to put it on them that they are essentially going around stabbing them or something.
Yeah.
They're basically saying you're deliberately inflicting harm on people around you. It's like, that's not true.
No, it's not at all. I mean, for a start, it's actually unfair. I know this is going to sound extraordinary, but it's unfair against the genuinely delusional. No, as in some people genuinely believe that this is Bill Gates' master plan to inject us all with microchips. We all know that's nonsense because they've done that already with the phones we have, basically.
Exactly. It's in your pocket. You don't need to inject you with anything.
But the overwhelming majority of people who are opting out of taking the vaccine are actually rational people who are probably doing so because of the health effects that it could subject them to.
Yep.
I mean, the BBC, what was it? Something emerged from the BBC a while ago that it apparently affected fertility rates or something like that.
Well, we don't know. And for YouTube's terms of service, we have absolutely no information on that whatsoever.
No, but it was quickly quashed as an unfounded fear. And,
yeah.
Well, my God, I hope it's right because I've been vaccinated. But the fear of the very fear of being left infertile, I think, is almost, if you can justify being hysterical about anything, you know, I mean, that's probably something that you could justify.
But not only that, like, if you look at the government's own scientific advisory body, they don't recommend it for children because they think there are risks associated with the vaccine that outweigh the risks of COVID.
Yeah.
And so they just don't recommend it.
No. But no, in the eyes of Jacinda Ardern, and sadly it seems Noam Chomsky, these people who refuse to take the vaccine are bad actors, end of story.
Yeah.
And I think that's outright egregious, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I do think it's down to the partisan political divide on this. Mm. The weird faith that the left places in state action compared to, obviously, the scepticism that the right has about state action. And I think the right is much more justified in this regard.
Yeah. No, if I may move on a little
bit. Yeah, let's carry on.
If the reason why I was keen to cover this is because there's an extraordinary irony right at the heart of this. Which we've alluded to in part. But in the 80s, Chomsky co-wrote a book titled Manufacturing Consent with Edward Herman. The book was published, I believe, in 1988. And in the book, he basically argues that the US media functions as a propaganda machine for the state for the purpose of unofficially coercing citizens into modes of behaviour that they think they have arrived at by chance. And he proceeds from here to argue that consumers should stop interacting and, more specifically, taking orders from these corporations, from these monoliths, on the grounds that they have a proactive role in the state's power, namely its ability to get citizens to toe the line. And he even with Herman, produced this wonderful quote here, which I will delightfully read out.
Yeah.
The mass media serve as a system for communicating messages and symbols to the general populace. It is their function to amuse, entertain, and inform, and to inculcate individuals with the values, beliefs, and codes of behaviour that will integrate them into the institutional structures of the larger society. In a world of concentrated wealth and major conflicts of class interest, to fulfil this role requires systematic propaganda.
And if I'd known we were going to cover this, I would have got the clip we played the other day of the American media being bought by Pfizer.
Mm.
There was a compilation going around Twitter where people would just be in a Nightline on NBC, brought to you by Pfizer, and then the next one brought to you by Pfizer, and it's like, right, so the drugs companies have bought the media.
Yeah, and on these precise grounds, you would think, given that capital is quite clearly a motivating factor here,
obviously,
that Chomsky would have a considerable problem with the media mobilising around...
He would at least be vaguely sceptical about this.
Yeah.
I don't know, the problem isn't the media and the corporations who are buying the media up. The problem is with you people who are sceptical of the media.
This is where Chomsky would interject and say, I smell a rat here.
Yeah.
What's going on?
How could he not?
Yes.
Could he not? Yeah.
Shall we have a look at some of these articles? Let's have a look at the first one. Vaccine passport apps could help us return to normal. First, they need to solve the trust problem.
Bought to you by Pfizer.
Yes, probably more than likely. This article basically is focused on dealing with the problem of trust issues, namely how to get citizens signed up to these passports without them becoming suspicious as to how their data is going to be used.
Oh, really?
Pretty much.
I mean, in the example of the Scottish government's app, it turned out they were sharing it with like Amazon and various other private companies.
Yeah.
So your data isn't private, and don't ever think that it is, because it's never going to be private.
No. It seems to present this tech race, I suppose, to provide this technology to the government for the resources of these passports to work as a positive thing for society at large. And it doesn't really consider the ethical dimension of why this might actually be bad, which would be, you would think, where Chomsky would want to interject.
Yeah, it's right up his alley.
It's like, we know it's good. We've just got to find a way to convince the public that it's good, because it is just good.
Because Pfizer say so.
Because Pfizer are saying so.
I mean, honestly, the fact that Chomsky has dropped the ball on this is embarrassing for left-wingers.
I know.
Because they venerate Chomsky. And I can understand why they do. As you said, you know, he's been very consistent on his particular lunatic left position. It's like, okay, fair enough. I can at least respect the fact that he's been consistent in these critiques. Mm. You know, but this is just awful.
Yeah.
I'd be so embarrassed if I were a Chomsky fan.
Yeah. Well, part of me still was, for the sake that he was being true to his convictions, but that I'm afraid is waning.
Yeah, I feel the same about him like I do about Zizek. You know, it's like, I don't agree with their politics, but I kind of like them because they're really sticking it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Sticking to it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know that they've got balls at the very least.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
but this is just awful.
They're not just pandering to the mob, but.
Chomsky's been subverted by the very media he warned us about.
Yes, precisely. And if we can get the next one up. So this one is more of an outright just slander against, well, the right, really.
Of course it is, from the
Verge. So this is by Russell Bramden, who says, the new mandates may inflame the persecution fantasies of the anti-vax rump, but it will save the lives of many of the same people who are resisting it. We've seen case after case of vaccine resistors changing their minds once they contract the disease, only to find it's too late. These deaths are tragic and entirely preventable. All it requires is taking the pandemic seriously.
Thank you for that advocacy of tyranny, Russell.
Yes.
Don't ostracize me, bro.
Yeah. And he says before this.
Yeah.
This funny enough. What was it? No, it's not made. Not made by Pfizer. I thought I just caught gold then. But he basically says that hospitals across the country continue to be overwhelmed by a new flood of cases. It's driven by people who refuse to be vaccinated, and political leaders should use every available power to end this nightmare. That's exactly what Biden is doing.
And just to be clear, that's not true. Again, the segment we did yesterday, it turned out that 40% of Maryland hospitals were vaccinated people. Again, doesn't prevent you from, you know, it's not categoric. You will not get sick from COVID if you get vaccinated.
No, it's not. And they know this blooming well.
And so they're again, manufacturing.
This has a very, very specific function, this message.
Yes.
And it is this. What's essentially being said is you're not taking the pandemic seriously. Mm-hmm. In not getting the vaccine, you are overwhelming hospitals. In not getting the vaccine, you are causing people to die. And most significantly, in not getting the vaccine, the government has every right to use every power that it has to force you to toe the line, effectively. Yeah. And rather than to stick to his convictions, regrettably, his anti-authoritarian and anti-interventionalist convictions, some of which are still appealing to a point, Chomsky has become a very, very part of the... of the propaganda machine of manufactured consent.
He has.
I mean, if anything, it would be... It's the way that he's actually almost fallen into line with the inadvertent coercion. He hasn't come out and said, you know, mandatory vaccines.
No.
Because that would almost be a token sign that he's... that dementia's finally caught up on him. No one would take that as a serious Chomsky position.
No.
But to arrive at the position that is so familiar to the one that he's criticised so consistently is what makes this a real tragedy.
To have fallen victim to the very, you know, big media complex that he spent his career criticising and resisting is an embarrassment. I actually feel sorry for him, to be honest.
No, it really is. And I'm almost inclined to give him an opportunity to actually rethink this.
Well, sure. I mean, he can at any point be like, hang on a second. Do I really think that for Pfizer's profits, we need to start persecuting people who might have legitimate concerns about the vaccine? No, it is the unvaccinated who are wrong.
Yeah,
No, he could change his position at any time, obviously, but like that is just mad. Absolutely mad.
I know. Death of a Titan.
Yeah. Well, you... You die young or see yourself live long enough to become a villain, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Anyway.
Yeah, and he certainly lived long enough for that, or has lived.
Speaking of villains, Dr. Anthony Fauci is a notorious liar and someone who pays to have puppies tortured. This is not an exaggeration. This is a true statement. You may recall back in his congressional hearing in July, when he had an interaction with Dr. Rand Paul, we have a report here from the New York Post where they say, Fauci, knowing it was a crime to lie to Congress, this is Ron Paul speaking directly to Fauci. I could have found the clip, but I didn't have time. Do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed the NIH never funded gain-of-function research and move on, said Rand Paul. And Fauci replies to this, Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress. I do not retract that statement. The paper that you're referring to is judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being of gain-of-function. But Paul broke in to say that according to the report, he cited the scientists at the Wuhan lab took an animal virus and increased its transmissibility to humans. And he says, you're saying that's not gain-of-function. And Fauci says, that is correct. Now, I'm just a layman, but I understood gain of function meant taking an animal virus and increasing its transmissibility to humans. And so Fauci saying that's not gain of function seems to be a lie. And Fauci then explodes at Rand Paul, which is the obvious way you can tell that he's definitely telling the truth. Senator Paul, you do not know what you're talking about. And quite frankly, I wouldn't say that officially. You do not know what you're talking about. And all of the media went, oh, see, Dr. Fauci says that Rand Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. But the thing is, Rand Paul's a doctor as well. He's an ophthalmologist, which isn't obviously the same field, but, you know, he's not someone who is just a total layman like I am. And he, you know, Rand Paul said, you know, this definition of gain of function involves increasing transmissibility. And that's what happened at the Wuhan lab. How you can say that is not gain of function, it's a dance, you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the globe because of the pandemic. Mm. Well, I don't know that it's Fauci that's responsible for this, but I do know that he definitely lied because the National Institute of Health, the NIH, came out and released a statement saying, yeah, Fauci was full of it. As the Federalist reports, Rand Paul had challenged Fauci, saying the NHS, the NIH has not ever funded gain of research, gain of function research through their $600,000 grant to the Wuhan Institute of Virology through EcoHealth Alliance, a New York-based nonprofit. And Rand Paul was told that he was entirely incorrect. 5 months later, during which new details would emerge to show that Fauci lied and would lie again, the NIH is now seemingly contradicted the director of the agency's National Institute of Allergy and Famous Diseases and Infectious Diseases. So NIAID, NAID, presumably it's pronounced. Mm. In a letter to the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, NIH Principal Deputy Director Lawrence Tabak contended EcoHealth failed to comply with the mandated report as stipulated by the grant would have triggered the supplemental review process for gain-of-function research. The research long championed by Fauci, who wrote in its defense as worth risking a pandemic over, which is a really ironic thing to have worth, you know, taking a risk over, was deemed so dangerous by the US government that it was banned from 2014 to 2017. That was during Obama had banned this. The ban was lifted after the Department of Health and Human Services developed enhanced protocols to evaluate grant proposals under the Potential Pandemic Pathogens Control and Oversight Framework. Money flowed from the NIH to the WIV, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which the US State Department claims was engaged in collaborative work with the Chinese military from 2014 to 2019, during the first 3 years of which gain-of-function funding was prohibited. So there we go. We know that it happened. The research plan was reviewed by the NIH in advance of the funding, and NOH determined that it did not fit the definition of research involving health pathogens, Tabak wrote, before elaborating that over the course of the research, new findings were made that would have mandated further review of whether it met the gain-of-function standard, and EcoHealth failed to report this finding right away as kept hidden as required by the terms of the grant. So they kept that hidden. And their letter from NIH follows 2 weeks after the agency director, Francis Collins, announced his resignation. So, I mean, why would you just resign slightly in advance of this? Well, because you think this is going to get sticky, that's why. And there's been an investigation launched into this research. And so this all seems to tie together with the EcoHealth Alliance. And so just very briefly, Rory has done an amazing piece of reporting on what is the EcoHealth Alliance and who is Peter Daszak. This is really, really good, and we'll leave it linked in the description, because this is pretty much about as far as we're going to be able to go with this. But just to summarize this, he talks about Daszak's delegitimization campaign, China's early censorship, Zazek's research and cooperation with Fauci, whether this is a natural genome or not, Chinese lab leak theory and the WHO's fact-finding mission and how this lab leak theory has gone mainstream, and then the position of questioning the science. To question the scientist is to attack the science. Basically, what he does is show the connection between Daszak and Fauci and Daszak weaponizing the Lancet Journal. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Right, so the Lancet Journal is a prestigious medical journal, one of the oldest, I think, very well regarded, and we got a set of Daszak's emails where he was speaking to Fauci, saying thank you for defending me publicly. A set of Daszak's emails obtained by Freedom of Information activist group Us Right to Know revealed that he had drafted the Lancet statement and urged his colleagues at EcoHealth Alliance to sign and circulate it amongst eminent scientists. So he was deliberately leveraging the institutional reputation of the Lancet in order to defend himself. And if we go to the next one, you can see this is just a picture of Daszak and Fauci hanging out in 2016. They've known each other for a while. They've been colleagues.
I'm just trying to think of the right insult here.
Yeah, Fauci's been funneling money to his organization for a while, and his money has been funneling money. His organization has been funneling money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I can't remember the name of the bat coronavirus lady, but this particular doctor there. And they were apparently funding gain of function research there as admitted by the NIH.
He's a criminal, in effect.
Yeah, he's definitely violated the terms of the grant. Fauci definitely lied to Congress about this. Rand Paul was definitely right about Fauci. And this is where, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll have to navigate down to the description and watch the rest of the podcast on lotuseaters.com. For people who do that, the timestamp you'll want is about 45 minutes in, because we're going to be getting into territory now that gets a bit close to YouTube's editorial guidelines, and we, of course, don't want to cause any trouble. So we'll see you over there. For those people who have remained with us, right, so we can see that EcoHealth Alliance definitely did violate the gain of function prohibition terms. This is Richard H. Ebright, the Board of Governors Professor of Chemistry and Chemical Biology at Rutgers University, who says that NIH corrects untruthful assertions by the Director Collins and Fauci, Director Fauci, he's the Director of NIAID, that NIH did not fund gain of function research in Wuhan. Apparently they did. And Daszak and EcoHealth Alliance violated the terms and conditions of the particular grant he's even numbering there. He's got the AI110964. We even know which one. But this isn't the first time that Daszak has been trying to get funding for this particular kind of research. In 2018, as Rory reported, again, Rory's been all over this. It's been great. Documents leaked by the COVID-19 pandemic origin research group Drastic have indicated that controversial non-profit EcoHealth Alliance sought $14 million in funding for a 2018 project that would expose wild horseshoe bats in China to altered coronaviruses. The claim the coronavirus came from a bat is not true. There have been no bats that have been found with COVID-19, but Daszak did want to give bats COVID. Weird. Why would you want to do that? Really makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does.
Gets the old almonds ticking. EcoHealth Alliance proposed a three-year study that would have released a skin-penetrating particle containing a novel chimeric spike protein from a bat coronavirus into bat caves in China's Yunnan province to study and prevent the transmission of such viruses to humans. We want to infect bats with viruses that don't exist in the wild in order to prevent these viruses from being transmitted to humans.
Doesn't sound right, does it?
No. No, it doesn't pass the smell test, does it?
No.
He was denied funding for that, so I guess he had to get it elsewhere. But anyway, going back to Dr. Ebright, if we can go to the next one, he has tweeted out a Washington Post editorial on Daszak, which they rightly suspect should actually be forced to go to Congress and testify on what has happened there. Daszak must answer questions for Congress. His grants were federal funds, and it was entirely appropriate for Congress to insist on accountability and transparency. He might help the world understand what really happened in Wuhan. But the question is, does he want to help the world understand what's happened in Wuhan? Because, I mean, if someone's looking like a bit of a sort of weird supervillain out of this, it's definitely Peter Daszak. Why did he not disclose his 2018 proposal to DARPA for research on bat coronaviruses with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which called for engineering a modification on spike proteins of chimeric viruses that would make them infect human cells in the way that the pandemic strain did? Again, this is the Washington Post writing this. Go back up. It was Wall Street Journal or Washington Post? I can't remember. The Washington Post, yeah. What does he know about the databases of viruses that the Wuhan Institute of Virology took offline in 2019 and never brought back? Right, this was another thing as well. They had all of these databases online because, of course, when there's no media spotlight on all of this, it's just much more easy for scientists to be able to cooperate to have all this online.
Yeah.
But for some reason, in 2019, they decided to take it offline.
Oh.
And interestingly as well, the chap who invented mRNA vaccines was IP blocked from accessing like the I don't know, some database of information as well. Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's just like, why? Why would all of this be done? Does he know what the research the WIV may have done on its own during or after the collaboration? What was being done at the WIV months before the pandemic? And this is another question that Fauci basically just doubled down and said, well, they've never lied to me before. I can't imagine that the Chinese Communist Party scientists would lie to me about the research they're doing. It's all been on the internet. Therefore, that's all the research they've done. And whoever was grilling Fauci was like, how do you know? He's like, well, I just trust them. If you just trust them, then that's fine.
Because transparency comes with any relationship you could have with the Chinese Communist Party.
Exactly. I mean, the idea. I mean, all of their scientists are going to be members of the party. You know, they're all going to be party members. They're all going to be, at their position at the pleasure of the Chinese.
Well, Communist they Party. Have to be.
Yes.
By their own law.
Yes. Mm. There's no like. Again, like I saw a meme going around the other day where people are like, oh, well, look, did you know in China, 90% of people own their houses, where it's only like 70% in the West. It's like, own their houses. Yeah, sure they do.
Yeah, it's not the same predicate, is it?
No, it's absolutely not. But anyway, Rand Paul has been enjoying this and has come out swinging because he's right. He is absolutely right. Fauci lied and he's scum. Paul told Fox News he felt validated, but this needs to go further. He says this is civilization ending kind of research. This research could release something that could destroy civilization. He accused Fauci of lying and intentionally passing words as to never fully admit the gain of function experiments have been happening. As for his feud with Fauci, he said that he'd already referred Fauci to the Justice Department for an investigation. Now, in more sane times, I'd be more hopeful about that. However, that's going to be Biden's Justice Department, and I just don't think that they're not corrupt enough to do this.
Sadly, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I think there's going to be partiality here. But I mean, then this is what Rand Paul noted. He wasn't expecting much from Merrick Garland, who's too busy going after mothers complaining that they are being taught critical race theory in school, because that's what the Justice Department has been doing, is pathologizing concerned parents who don't want their kids taught racism as terrorists. But what does Fauci say about this? Does Fauci say, oh no, okay, you got me? No. He stands by his lies. Completely stands by his lies. So the NIH say, Fauci, you were doing this. And Fauci's like, no, I wasn't. That's all he has to say. Again, commitment to the narrative, just like Psaki. In the face of obvious evidence to the contrary, just deny it. Just deny it. Nothing bad can happen if you just continue committing to the narrative. So Fauci says, where is it? I obviously disagree with Senator Paul. He's absolutely incorrect. Neither I nor Dr. Francis Collins, the director of NIH, lied or misled about anything that we've done. He is not correct that we lied or misled the Congress, even though that's being disputed at the moment by the NIH. This was made during an interview on George Stephanopoulos' ABC program this week, where they played this short clip, and he was just like, nope, I totally disagree. This is not true. And it's like, yeah, but now you're disagreeing with the National Institute of Health. And
he sounds like he doesn't even, as if he's forgotten about the charges actually being imposed on him in that response.
I mean, he sounds a lot like Baghdad Bob, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
There's literally tanks rolling back and everything's fine in Iraq, don't
we? You know what I was going to say? I was going to say this is a case of death before dishonor, but that would be wrong. This is dishonor before death.
Yeah, it is. And so, yeah, Fauci's just doubling down. But thankfully, at least the Republicans are starting to notice. And, I mean, every Republican should be speaking about this at this point. We can go to the next one. 15 Republicans, including Rand Paul, have called on Fauci to be dismissed, if not prosecuted outright. Representative says, for the past year and a half, critical decisions for the whole country have hinged off Dr. Fauci's advice and decrees. Two presidents have used his advice as the basis for our nation's response to COVID-19, yet here we have incontrovertible proof that he was intentionally lying to Congress. Fauci must resign and face prosecution for perjury. I agree. DeSantis obviously came out in support of prosecuting Fauci, which is correct, in my opinion. If we can go to the next one. He says so that what they're doing is taking tax dollars in to China, and then they're trying to create super viruses that will be more dangerous for humans. And they'll say, well, we want to figure out how to combat the viruses, but you're doing this. It's very hazardous. How's he wrong? Seems to be the case. He says, I think it's unethical to do it. They should have been banned from doing it, but I think they went around the bend. So we've got to shut that down. You can't have mad scientists running around playing God like this.
Yes.
I agree. Okay. How's he wrong? But that's not the only evil thing that Fauci has been doing with his time. Fauci has also been signing off on funding the torture of puppies.
Oh, good.
Pretty awful. I mean, who doesn't love puppies apart from Dr. Fauci? So the National Institute of Health turned around and said, well, hang on a second, after a bunch of... If you can scroll down a bit, just so we can see the photos, John. There we go. This is one of the photos that was leaked and then went viral of puppies being tortured. The National Institute of Health came out and very quickly said, well, look, we didn't fund this. Someone else, Fauci, funded this in a different way. They told the Daily Mail that the pictures of dogs with their heads enclosed in netting being attacked by flies as part of research into leishmaniasis, a serious parasitic disease transmitted by sandflies, were not from their experiments. However, they did confirm that some of the beagles had had their vocal cords cut, so they can't even bark or whine about having their faces eaten off by sandflies.
That is disgusting.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful. And this is done to reduce noise, which is not only stressful to the animals, but can also reach decibel levels that exceed OSHA allowable limits for people and can lead to hearing loss. Oh yeah, it'd be stressful for the animals who are getting their faces eaten off by flies if they were allowed to bark. It's just absolutely evil. So the White Coat Waste Project revealed that nearly $2 million was spent on experiments on a total of 44 beagles at Shri International in Menlo Park, California, in which the puppies received cordectomies, which their vocal cords being cut, were force-fed drugs before being killed and then dissected, and then $375,000 was provided to a lab in Tunisia to drug beagle puppies. And they'd previously strapped infectious sandflies to beagles at the NIAID lab in Bethesda, Maryland, allowing them to feed on the dogs for 22 months. And they allege that the dogs developed infectious lesions before the researchers killed and dissected them. All of this cost apparently $18 million.
And what do they get out of this?
Oh, it's probably bad for the dogs. Well, if you allow sand flies to feed on them.
Well, quite.
And infect them with diseases. I'm not sure. But anyway, the Republicans are thankfully not happy about this as well. Maybe they're starting to realise that there's a problem with the Democrats. 24 members, if you can go to the next one, John, of the House of Representatives signed a letter to Fauci, who is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Again, he's the one overseeing all of this. The letter was prompted by White Coast Waste, and they are wondering what's going on. And even some Democrats have had a slight crisis of conscience, if you can believe it. Now, normally the Democrats are, I mean, almost... There's a phenomenon in America where the Democrats and Republicans both are team players, but the Democrats seem to be more team playing than the Republicans, especially in the last couple of years because of Trump. There were Republicans who didn't agree with Trump and went against Trump, but I'm yet to hear from any Democrats who are like, yes, there's nothing to worry about from Joe Biden. But anyway, apparently a bipartisan letter has demanded answers from the NIAID, Republicans, most of them are Republicans, but there were a few Democrats on this list, so that's good, because this is awful. And again, just how could you be okay with this? What did you need to do here? Experimenting on beagle puppies by locking them in cages, cutting their throats, and then allowing them to be eaten on by flies.
How can he sleep at
For
night?
For science.
How can he sleep at night?
I have no idea. Like, it's awful. I don't know how anyone could torture a puppy like this. But anyway, so, moving on. Fauci wants to inject your kids with some drugs. Trust that man? I wouldn't. It's nice to not be on YouTube and be able to say that. So yeah, he thinks that vaccines for children aged 5 to 11 in the US may be available in early November, presumably because he needs a big retirement check from Pfizer. This goes against UK government advice, just to skip over back to the pond. But the UK government advice is, the advisory committee says, overall, the committee is of the opinion that the benefits from vaccination are marginally greater than the potential known harms, but acknowledges there is considerable uncertainty regarding the magnitude of the potential harms. The margin of benefit, primarily based on health perspective, is considered too small to support a program advice on a universal program of vaccination for otherwise healthy 12 to 15 year old children at this time. So there we go. They just don't support vaccinating children in the UK. Fauci, though, is like, yeah, vaccinate those kids, torture those beagle puppies, fund that gain of function research. I don't care, says Fauci. And in the UK, therefore, children will not be vaccinated. If we go to the last Guardian article, children in the UK can only get COVID vaccination if they're over 12 and extremely vulnerable, live with someone at risk because of scientists raising concerns about inflammation of heart linked to the Pfizer jab. Fauci, however, has mentioned none of this, does not care about any of it.
Clearly not.
And yeah, and is clearly being paid off, or worse.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Scumbag.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about it. It's an expression of everything that that those working in the interests of Big Pharma shouldn't. I'm actually lost for words, to be honest.
It's the commitment to narrative that I hate so much. Because, like, you see, we covered the Fauci documentary that got 2% approval rating from the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. And you could see, like, the comments, it wasn't just, like, Republican partisans. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, actually, I support Fauci, or I supported Fauci, until I watched this documentary. And then I realized this was just, like, a North Korean propaganda piece where Fauci, it's not that he wasn't good, it's that nobody's accepting how great he is.
Yeah.
And it was just this one-sided fluffing where it's just like, we've got this golden halo narrative where everything is perfect, and anything that contradicts that is just non-existent or, you know, wrong. Yeah. And it's like, sorry, you know, Fauci isn't a god, you know, who descended from the heavens, as far as I'm aware.
No. And I mean, I think what I find the most distressing about this, actually, is just how silent, as you say, the Democrats have actually been.
Yeah.
On a matter that is a clear exploitation of one's position in the Big Pharma industry.
Yes.
And do you remember how quickly they mobilized around Shkreli when there was that when there was that case of Turing Pharmaceuticals?
Yeah.
And they stopped at absolutely nothing to make him look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Compare that with this.
Well, absolutely. They
don't have any moral authority to lecture anyone about Big Pharma ever again after this, unless they get their act together.
And I'm not saying that Shkreli did nothing wrong or anything, but, like, what he did was far less bad than what they're doing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like, he was at least a private individual working at a company who made a capitalistic decision.
Yeah.
You know, like, these people are using your money. They're not accountable to you.
Yeah.
But what I find worse is the employment of, like, North Korean tactics, where it's like, right, so we have the dear leader, we have the media narrative that is just all good, all bad people are awful, and essentially get locked out of the process, and so they're not even entities now, you know. And then you get the Noam Chomsky position, well, those people who object should be ostracized from society. It's like, I don't really want the country to be run like North Korea.
No.
Like, but the Democrats have adopted North Korean tactics to get to this point. It's like, well, look, even if everything you said was true, the way you're going about all of this is evil.
Yeah.
So stop
it. It's kleptocratic.
You know? Yes. I mean, that's just outright dictatorial, to be honest. But, like, and the fact that no one seems to be able to call them up on that and be like, look, it's the way that you do things that's wrong, not necessarily the things you're doing, but also the things you're doing are wrong, it really bothers me. And I can't stand it, to be honest. But anyway, let's go to the video comments.
This comment is for Thomas. Are you familiar with James Lindsay at all? To summarize some of his positions, the modern left has roots starting from Hegel to Kant, Kant to Hegel, to Marx to Marcuse, and is essentially a young religion. It's promoting the development of pathologies in individuals in order to make them incapable of functioning normally in accordance with reality, and thus causing them to demand a brave new world order, style order being imposed.
I'm not familiar. Well, I'm familiar with James Lindsay. Hmm. I've never engaged with any of his videos yet.
Oh, they're good.
And I'm being increasingly encouraged to do so, and I will. But that sounds very much like where I anticipate, you know, like our conversations that we've had about Adorno so far. It does seem as if there is this doubling down on, I suppose, placing people into a state of reflexivity, which is leaving them with, I suppose, nothing to lose from reaching out to utopian ideals.
It does seem to be putting them into some kind of messianic fervor.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Where it's like if we just commit, emotionally commit even deeper to the dear leader's will, then we will eventually come out on the other side of this in the utopia that we're looking for, in the promised land.
Yeah, if you're left without a solid sense of self, then you're going to jump at the chance for someone to give that to you. Yeah. And that's where the messiah complex becomes dangerous. But no, I will engage with James Lindsay. Mm.
I think it's interesting that he goes from Kant as well, because I've always found that Kant's Kingdom of Ends has been a slightly suspect position. Mm. I always found that really weird, because it's like, right, so you want everyone... Because essentially what he's trying to do is kind of establish the sort of moral mind of God, right? A rationalistic view of the moral mind of God. So anyone can be a moral legislator on par with God. And obviously I'm an atheist, but like... Mm. That strikes me as being something that could lead to, oh, I don't know, students telling you you're not being orthodox enough and then occupying your office.
Quite.
And things like that. Because if they feel that they can make moral legislation on par with the people who are their elders and more, you know, intellectual superiors, then why would they ever consider anyone to have authority over them?
They wouldn't. It's entirely self-justifying.
Exactly. And so I think that Lindsay's probably mapping a right course here from Kant to Hegel to the Frankfurt School and beyond. Mm. But I think that's probably right. And it does seem to have taken on aspects of a religion.
It's, no, it does. That's an excellent way of putting it.
Yeah. Right, let's go to the next one.
No, no, no. Alec Baldwin violated the rules of gun safety. He did not check his weapon. Clearly he did not. It is his fault. Whoever fired the weapon is at fault. That is all.
Okay. I'm happy to accept that correction.
Yes. Whoever fires the gun is at fault.
That's fine.
So, for someone who's missing a leg, let's say their left leg, we have to take out the left pedal at the front of the seat and essentially just replace the right pedal with like a system that just attaches to their leg. So if they pull, then it acts as if they're pushing with the left, which isn't there, and then they can just push with the right as normal. But we are going to have to lock you into the seat so that you know, you don't actually get disjointed from this system, so you won't be able to take a piss for 9 hours on your flight. Yeah. A few problems with that right there.
Yeah, that's not an experience I'd like to have.
No. No, I don't know anything about it. I wasn't on the podcast when that issue came up.
Anyway. No, I do. It sounds extremely discomforting, and I'm sorry that he had to go through that. But.
Let's go for the next one. Yeah.
And here we see the extrusion of plastic window parts, also known as the forbidden soft serve ice cream.
I don't get it.
Nope, but thank you for sharing it.
As the Danis Supreme, I'm disappointed in Carl's answer to the magician of Schweinhauslauf, Swedish guy. The appropriate answer to how you can better your country is sire or adopt children and raise them well.
Sure, that's a good point. That is how you can help your country. But also you do have to get involved with the political system, and that does mean sending letters to your representatives, but that is also something you should do. But I mean, that's not even, I wouldn't even put that as like, you know, you could put it as a duty to your country, but really you should be doing that for yourself and your family, your friends, you know, your mother and father want to be grandparents. You know, there are lots of human reasons to have a family. You know, I didn't want to make it a political statement, but obviously that would help. So let's go to the next one.
Okay, so getting onto Christ and to his ministry. He made two specific claims during his ministry that I want to touch on. One, that he was the Son of God. And what he meant by that was that he was Yahweh and that he had been incarnated into the flesh. And two, that him, the God Most High, / God the Father, and El Shaddai were not three separate gods, but one. And that's what Christians ended up having to understand and figure out how to explain.
Yes, yeah, that is the mission of Christians, I suppose, or the task they have to.
I mean, I'm not a Christian. So...
No, I don't find anything to contest about that.
Well, I mean, that's a true statement from a Christian perspective. That is what Jesus did. Mm. You know, it's up to you whether you believe or can wrangle with it.
Mm. All right, lads. So, in regards to Alec Baldwin shooting. I'm an Irish qualified health and safety rep at my work, and you can make fun of me for that later. There are three standards of knowledge kind of thing in health and safety. There's expert knowledge, which would be the armourer, industry knowledge, which would be Alec Baldwin, and then common knowledge, which is the rest of us plebs. You could argue Alec Baldwin had industry knowledge if he's ever fired guns on set before and should know not to point it. And expert knowledge, obviously the armourer should have known not to do that. So he may actually be punished for this.
Yeah, sounds like a fair point to me.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, though, I kind of be a bit, you know, soft about it, like, because like, I don't think he meant it. You know, I don't think he wanted to do that. And it does seem that it was her mistake to give him a loaded gun. But, I mean, like our American friends have pointed out, you know, the person holding the gun is the person responsible for, you know, what happens. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I would say...
I still feel for him.
Yeah, but the person... That only works if you assume that the same person has also loaded it, which is not the case with Baldwin.
But he should have checked it and whatnot, apparently.
Yeah, that
which is fair. Mm. But anyway, let's go on to the next one.
So let's review current things. They are using fear, extortion, terror, and in some cases violence, in order to push through their tyrannical political goals. How are current politicians not terrorists? Also, I knew he had dyslexia. You kind of get a sense for it if you also have it.
Well, it's a little bit... Well, I guess you have to question how political organisations have their legitimacy. Some have more democratic means than others. Some, I suppose, in the case of the Chinese Communist Party, for example, established themselves via tyranny. But I don't think you can collapse every single political organisation into just a power structure.
The problem is kind of plausible deniability, isn't it? Mm. So the politicians are in a particular place and they aren't directly doing things, but the media then fearmongers, and the media has got its own partisan biases. You've got left-wing and right-wing media, and they do the work that many of the politicians are doing. And then you've got these sort of unelected functionaries like Fauci, who also go out and do their parts to fearmonger people and persuade and browbeat. And so it's not that you can essentially collectivize all of these things together and still remain fair about it. So we can't just pathologize all politicians as being terrorists, I'm afraid. Mm. Even though they certainly are. And I don't think you can call fearmongering terrorism either, unfortunately.
No.
You know, fearmongering isn't using terror to make you do something, as in terror is the immediate threat of violence is usually a reasonable, I think, definition of it, rather than a sort of more abstract, if you don't do this, bad things will happen.
Yeah.
You know, it seems fair to do that.
But if I may add something, at the heart of the question seems to be an assumption that all forms of government start as in positions of social class. I would contest that in the case of the English tradition. Or at least the existence of the common law seems to refute that.
Mm-hmm. There is an argument there, definitely. Although, I mean, someone counter to that would say, well, in the English system, is it not an imposition of the Norman class?
You could say that.
You know? But I mean, a lot of, you know, 800 years of English history has basically been the Anglo-Saxons objecting to the way the Normans treat them.
Yeah, but where is the Norman class now? Mm. Or is it actually performatively carried on?
No, a lot of them are directly descended from Norman aristocrats.
Well, I can see how that works as an argument.
Yeah, I mean, you actually can trace their lineages back, and you know a few people who like actually you know heirs to lands in places. It's like, okay, but they've abolished monarchy, so you don't have any claim to the land after that. But yeah, I think there is definitely an argument there.
Mm.
But anyway, let's get to the next one.
Hey, Lotus Eaters, just thought I'd give an update on the progress of Dad's motorhome bus. So on the right-hand side here, we're going to be putting the kitchen. On the left-hand side, that's where the fridge and pantry and dining table go. This middle area is where the toilet, the sink, and the tub go. So toilet's on that side. And then in the end of the bus here is where the master bedroom is. I've been helping Dad do the wiring, and it's been really fun.
That is a big camper van.
Yeah, it's a bus that they're competing.
Oh, fair, yeah.
Callum was like objecting because they've got loads of buses, but I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, no, I look forward to seeing it when it's finished.
Mm. Being like, yeah, I am persecuting the Jews.
Interesting.
And I enjoy it immensely.
Interesting.
Why wouldn't we do this?
That's another interesting answer for that question. And I
I'm happy to be corrected on this because I'm no expert.
I know a little bit. I've watched plenty of like documentaries and stuff. So moving on.
Let's get the video comments.
That is bad.
It's really insufferable to watch us just ignore it. I don't think women are capable of memes.
Based.
I hereby challenge gold tier meme video cutters. Oh God, we're not getting into this. See you then.
And that's why we don't upload this part to YouTube.
Yes, it is. One reason anyway.
Allahu Akbar, Lotus Eaters. I work in the film industry and am in 14-day lockdown in Hong Kong at the moment. Want to comment on the Alec Baldwin shooting? We always have safety meetings. Anyone can check the rifle and the mags and the bullets, etc. We never have actual bullets on set. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. The actors always check as well. Alec Baldwin must not have checked. He must not have been trained. It's on him a little bit for not doing so.
Thank you for letting us know. I did find it really weird. Why would you have live rounds on a film set? That just strikes me as really bizarre.
No, I don't know. I can't answer that.
Let's go for the next one.
This is my test run of my outfit for work on Friday where we're dressing up. I'm a vampire, if you can't tell. And dressing up's a lot of fun. I don't know why you guys don't like enjoy it. But I guess it's just a personal preference, but it's always fun going and seeing lots of different people doing different things and seeing them in different outfits. So I have a question. What do you do when you can't get someone to agree with you on something very fundamental, like the idea that morals and ethics are subjective? Do you just end the conversation like there's no point?
No, you never end the conversation.
Well, no, it just goes on forever, doesn't it?
Well, it becomes perfectly clear, as in the case of social justice warriors, that there are certain things they want to assume that are off the table for them, which means that they're not arguing from the same axiological position. And from that point, you can say, well, you've basically just retracted any attempt to defend your position, so I win. Mm. And I suppose you could end it yourself there.
But it is. I see what she's going for there, because it is rather unsatisfying as a conclusion to any argument.
It is, especially if they genuinely think they're right and don't feel defeated.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But if they're not going to actually come to the table and have a discussion about these things, or if you have a long discussion and you basically come to two irreconcilable positions, or it's like, well, you know, I'm not prepared to give up freedom and I'm not prepared to give up safety. Well, okay.
Yeah, I've had many of those situations.
Yeah. Mm. But unfortunately, sometimes you just end up in these positions where you just have to agree to disagree.
Yeah, and it can be done.
Oh, yeah. As long as you understand that there's more important things like friendship and other human constructs.
I think getting people to separate their political views from their sense of personhood is one of the hardest things.
It really is.
Yeah. I can do it quite easily, but not everyone can. And it's becoming increasingly hard to find people who can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Anyway, let's go for the next one.
Attorney General Garland, do you believe that these environmental extremists are also domestic terrorists?
And this is the first I know about it.
One picture is from January 6th. This other picture, extremists forcing themselves into the Interior Department. January 6th, Department of Interior. Blows my mind that you're not aware.
One I know the facts of, the other I don't know the facts of.
That's the problem that everyday Americans are facing right now.
In the January 6th case.
And you're not answering my question now, and you're...
In the January 6th case.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Some good YouTube poop, that.
Let's get to the next one.
Okay, guys, this is absolutely not a video question. This is just me being too happy not to brag. Look who got himself an RTX 3080 Ti for MSRP. This thing is a monster. Sitting right here next to my 3D printed Geralt. Printed on my own personal printer. The one I built myself.
Nice.
And some of the communist leaders. Because as we know, Empire has done nothing wrong. Especially this guy.
That's awesome.
Some nice trolling there.
Nice bragging too.
Yeah.
That was a nice looking PC.
Yeah, I've only got the 2060.
I have no idea. Years ago, I gave up the ability to be able to keep up with the way technology is. I just, every few years, I'll just buy a PC that costs like $2,000 and then I can play wherever I want on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with the state of politics in New Jersey. Phil Murphy is running for re-election as governor. He's a big fan of Gavin Newsom and the way things are going in California, apparently. He wants to turn New Jersey into the East Coast California. And he followed Andrew Cuomo's advice, apparently, with the nursing home debacle during the pandemic. I'm not voting for Phil Murphy. Project Veritas just did a big expose about him. So please, New Jerseyans, watch the expose and don't vote for Phil Murphy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nothing more to say, just nope. Agree.
Agree, yeah.
Next one.
When a bunch of leftists leave bad reviews on a product, that is not review bombing. That is fortifying the reviewing process. During the lockdowns, a lot of women discovered that they, horror of horrors, liked being parents. And then some of them did the math and discovered that not only did they like being parents, but on net, they were paying to work. It doesn't take that many women doing that to account for the labor shortage.
That's a good point.
Mm, yeah.
Well, don't mind me. I'm just at a local theater premiere, and not one mask in sight. And neither did I ask for Corona passport. Sucks to be you.
Well, not us, yeah. Actually, because in England we don't have mask mandates or passports or anything.
No,
like
but, I still have the displeasure of seeing someone wearing one every day.
That's true. Yeah. Although saying that, it's a lot less common now, I've noticed.
It's becoming less common.
Yeah, I have noticed. It just seems to be... It used to be like literally half of the people would be wandering around wearing masks. Mm. But now it's less than a quarter. Mm. So that's good. But yeah, so we actually are in the same position in England. If you're in Wales or Scotland, well, big
sucks
dunk
to be
on you.
You,
yeah. So Anon says, I think it's important to remember that this is still Biden's first year.
God.
Yeah, last thing is, it feels like Biden's been in charge for decades now.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, less than a year, and Biden has ruined the United States.
So I was going to say, and the United States already hates him.
Yeah. I should have got the map of his approval rating up, because there's only one state, I think it was California, in which he has a positive reputation at this point. Mm. Everywhere else is either neutral or negative. It's very much a Democrat thing to use a disabled man as a shield. Let's go, Brandon, says Pirate Skeleton.
Yep.
Yeah, not surprising, is it? Free Will says, but Joe Biden is the most popular president ever. Media says so. The protesters are literally fake news.
That's the line that's being drawn.
It is. Fraser says, let's go, Brandon, rap removed from YouTube. Saiten's Join Islam song is still up. Actually hilarious to me.
Mm. YouTube upholding their standards as usual.
Omar says, the funniest thing about the Let's Go Brandon meme is that anyone using it certainly already knows the underlying meaning of F Joe Biden. To anyone who doesn't know about it, censoring such a benign phrase seems absolutely deranged. The Biden admin and allies are Barbara Streisanding themselves in the foot. Yeah, and there was, in the Canadian Parliament, I think, a thing that went around saying they weren't allowed to say Let's Go Brandon. It's like, what, in the Canadian Parliament? Weird.
What is that, hate speech now, is it?
Well, presumably, but Justin Trudeau is part of the Build Back Better buddies crew, isn't he?
Of course he is.
You know, so he's doubtless helping his friend. Mm. Free Will says, how about taxing their globalist billionaire buddies, not the middle class?
Yeah, there's an idea.
Good luck with that, though. Moving on, Chomsky Bucketbot says, given the vaccination rate among black Americans, I'm surprised how many leftists are suddenly in favor of oppressing, starving, and disenfranchising them.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a point that you brought up.
Oh, I know. I should have
done
that.
Didn't even think about it because we're not racist. But
no.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Mm.
And it is remarkable how that is a blind spot in the left's analysis of vaccinations now.
Is that not an expression of white supremacy on the part of the left?
Ooh. Doubtless. I mean, everything's an expression of white supremacy. So yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Chris says, anytime someone makes an analogy between your bodily autonomy and traffic laws, they are an imbecile or a traitor. Is Chomsky an imbecile or a traitor? I'm going to lean with traitor.
I'd go for imbecile on that.
I just can't get over how Chomsky, of all people, is like, yeah, the media manufactures consent. Now, do what the media says, or you're bad. It's like, Chomsky, literally, there's no reflection there at all.
No.
Like, no self-doubt. It's like, hang on a second. Where did I even get that idea from? You know, anyway, M1 Ping says, nothing inspires confidence in a vaccine like needing to isolate the unvaccinated to protect the vaccinated. Again, like, I personally agree with Boris Johnson on the efficacy of the vaccines. They're generally better for people who are vulnerable. but that's as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
George says, I still remember when Chomsky said the Republican Party was the most dangerous organization in human history. Yeah. Ah, yes.
I nearly brought that up.
Ah, we should have done. Yeah. He was always a partisan hack that weaponized compassion as a talking point, but now that the left has all the institutional power, that theater is no longer necessary.
That is an excellent point.
That is a great point.
Yeah.
I forgot, in fact, that he'd called the Republican Party the most dangerous organization in human history.
And that's just about one of the stupidest things that's probably ever been said by an academic.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
More dangerous than the Soviets or the Nazis.
Or in the present case, yeah. China.
Yeah, China. Just more dangerous. The Republicans, the party of slave freeing.
Yeah.
The anti-KKK party.
Yeah.
The most dangerous. I love it. It's just mad. Anyway, Sean says, I wonder if Chomsky became a vax Nazi out of fear because of his age and being at risk category. Possibly. But yeah. The thing is, I mean, if he's had his vaccine, which I'm sure he has, then what's the problem?
Oh, yeah.
I've never understood this veneration for Chomsky. From the first time I saw him speak, I thought this guy's a joke. I wish he had debated someone like Thomas Sowell so that everyone could see how ridiculous his views are.
I'd like to see that debate.
I mean, Google, there probably is a debate between Thomas Sowell and Chomsky.
Mm, they've both lived long enough to have debated each other, 20 or 30 times?
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. They've both been prominent academics for decades.
Mm.
Steve Hayduck says, for most of the vax isn't about health because it was never about health with the government. It's because mass compliance with government manifests a mob which they can use to erode minorities' freedoms. Case in point, it always around the world leads to the vax pass, which is not a scientific way to prevent COVID, the virus which has an exceptionally low mortality rate and whose policy ultimately creates more harm than it prevents. It's manifest now. We don't even need to argue the case. That's what's happening.
Mm.
Yeah, COVID is not dangerous enough to warrant this. Tiber says, if someone doesn't want to stop at a red light, they might get a fine. They might lose their driving license. They might kill someone. They might go to jail. But we would not put them straight to jail just because they expressed the view they didn't want to stop at red lights. We don't put people who break the rules of the road into concentration camps. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because Noam Chomsky isn't in charge. Robert says, a communist advocating policies that would lead to the starvation of millions. Surely not.
Stalin would be proud. Hashtag screw the kulaks.
Yeah. Well, that's literally it. I mean, like, how is it every single time the communists get to, yeah, so, about those gulags. It's like, fuck's sake, Chomsky. Sorry, I shouldn't have sworn. Robert says, how about securing anti-vaxxer survival by loading them onto trains, moving them to purpose-built accommodation? We call them camps for short. Mm. I'm sure this was tried somewhere before, but I can't quite remember the outcome.
No, neither can I.
Baron von Warhawk says, a socialist not caring about whether or not people eat? Imagine my shock. I'm speechless. I know, this is amazing, isn't it? But this is Chomsky of all people. You know, Chomsky, food is a human right. You know, the government's going to terrorize you. They're going to make you believe what they want you to believe. It's bonkers. Yanala says, so his plan to safeguard the community from the community. Good luck with that. Yeah, exactly. There was another, who is it? You know, I can't remember where it was I read this quote from someone, but it's like, basically, you know, I was a member of the people right up until I started opposing socialism. Now I'm not one of the people. Now I'm a danger to the people.
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, you know, what's the distinction here? There is none. Dahl's Chicken says, let's put the unvaccinated in separate, preferably walled areas and give them armbands to recognize them by. No, it would just be little yellow stars. Freewell says, cast the heretics out. Chomsky claimed he was an anarchist, but there's no such thing as a hard leftist who is not an authoritarian. His compassion of feeding the segregated unvaxxed to feeding prisoners shows you how his thought process is working on this issue. Yeah, that's a great point as well.
Yeah.
You know, basically, the unvaxxed are basically prisoners, so, I mean, we can't just kill them. We've got to make sure they stay alive in their state of constant suffering.
Mm.
Does this include people who cannot be vaccinated for medical reasons, or is that too subtle a distinction at this point? Did he make that distinction?
I don't think he did.
I didn't hear him making it, yeah.
No, he didn't seem to fit. He overlooked it completely by the looks of it.
Yeah. Kathy says, many of the vaccine skeptics are not getting the jab, are young black Americans and mostly in urban areas. These people are not right-wingers. Urbanites typically vote Democrat and want large intrusive governments. Do they realize they're cutting off their noses by their face? I don't doubt that that's true. But again, this is like the blind spot for the progressives, isn't it?
Yeah.
As far as they're concerned, it's all a bunch of straight white country bumpkins who vote Trump, who aren't vaccinated, and therefore, who cares about them? Put them in the camps.
Mm.
Matthew says, is it not weird that what may take down Fauci is not the creation of the coronavirus through the funding of the gain-of-function research, but animal abuse? Well, people care about dogs much more than they care about other humans. So, I mean...
And for good reason, more often than not.
Well, yeah, that's fair. It's not terribly ironic, actually. Duffy says, Dr. Fauci is quickly becoming a 1950s mad scientist caricature. Torture of animals, experiments without ethical considerations, and a god complex. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's absolutely nothing to dispute about that. I was about to go a step further, but I think I'd abstain from saying it.
Well, now you've said it, you may as well tell us.
Oh, really? No, I can't do it. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay. But did you see there was a screenshot from his Fauci documentary going around where he sat in his office at home doing some typing. And on the wall is just a massive picture of his own face.
Oh, my God.
There's a massive portrait that's painted of him on his wall. It's like four times bigger than his own head. And it's just like, what are we looking at here? You know, this unbelievably vain man.
He's got a narcissistic personality disorder of some sort.
Obviously,
clearly.
Yeah. We'll get Josh to give him a psychoanalysis.
Yes.
I'm fully expecting news to come out from somewhere that Fauci has an island where he's established the law, Moreau style. Wear a mask, that is the law, believe the science. Take the vax, that is the law, believes the science. Yeah, I mean, if Fauci doesn't have an island with Dr. Moreau, I'm going to be disappointed, to be honest. He's gone this far. You may as well go further. Mm. Ben says, Fauci cutting the vocal cords of dogs. I don't think Fauci personally cut the vocal cords. His minions who bought and paid for cut the vocal cords. Mm. Fauci cutting the vocal cords of dogs stopping barking is a bit telling of his view that inconvenient things must be silenced. Yeah, it's awful, isn't it? Dahl says, oh no, Fauci is a liar and puppy torturer. I heard from reputable critics that the ass-licking, gobbling Fauci's balls and its knees propaganda documentary understated the magnificence of this man. Well, I mean, if the people who made the documentary are in favour of these things, maybe it did. What have we come to that we can't trust the formerly dependable critics that used to be riddled with integrity? I know, it's mad, isn't it? Bucketbot says, I hope after 2022, Congress throws the book at Fauci and his cohorts. This is some crazy Resident Evil Umbrella Corporation level of criminality. That's a good point. And the perennial criticism of the Umbrella Corporation is, what's in it for them? We're going to kill humanity. Yeah, but why? You're part of humanity. You make money that way.
Because it can be so much better.
Exactly. And we've arrived at Fauci's position here. Rose says, continuing to lie and deny in the face of overwhelming evidence is the earmark of a sociopath. So is the torturing of small animals. Good point.
Yep.
S.H. Silver says, regardless of how awful a character Fauci is, the media and government has woven the narrative of the fight against COVID with Fauci sewn into it as the TV doctor that everyone gets their answers from. So to the programmed NPC, any critique of Fauci, even if it's not to do with COVID, is now seen as a larger attack on the COVID response and the general safety of the public. Mm. An attack against one is an attack against all. You can see this with the recent response to John Tron's tweets about Fauci torturing dogs.
Yeah,
I did see that.
Yeah.
You know, John Tron posted it. It's like, well, I mean, is he wrong? Is it bad torturing dogs? And they were like, oh, I can't believe you want everyone to die of COVID. It's like, that didn't even have anything to do with COVID.
No, it does seem like there's some new speak being implemented here. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Anyway, Kelb says, anarchism and socialism communism are inherently contradictory ideas. Not quite. Everyone who seems to be an anarcho-socialist ultimately has to pick one or the other if pressed. Seems Chomsky has made his choice. Credits putting it off until his twilight years, I suppose. Yeah, well, with the theory behind communism and socialism, yes, communism in its idealized end state is essentially anarchism. But they believe that, well, Marx believed that a worldwide proletarian revolution would have to rise up, establish the dictatorship of the proletariat by wiping out the bourgeoisie, and then indoctrinating everyone into being communist, so at some point the state withers away. Never happened. It's never going to happen. It's nonsense. But that's how they think it's going to work.
Effectively. Only that he would argue that there's absolutely no coercive presence there, because people are naturally communist by disposition, and everything that's not communist is standing in their way of the realization of their true freedom.
And that's the reason why communism never happened, because that was wrong.
Yeah, it's a complete misconstrual of human nature.
Yes, people are not naturally communist.
Yeah,
and if they were, why wouldn't we find communism everywhere? Like, why would we have to do anything to implement
it? I think if anything has been historically refuted sufficiently, it is communism. Not least because there is no pure revolution that has ever existed. You've always a half-baked version of what the rise-up was in the first place.
Yeah.
You can look at Napoleon. He's hardly a Jacobin. Communism, every attempt to actually bring about communism has ended in a retracting.
Mm.
Look at Russia. They basically got the Tsar regime back with Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Look at China. It's capitalism.
That's true. Well, it's fascism, I would say.
Actually, yes, no, you're absolutely right.
I would call, and this being the logical end result of communism. But anyway, we're out of time, so we're going to go. But thanks for joining us, folks. If you'd like to support us, you can go to lowdoseeds.com, sign up, get access to all of our amazing premium content, and we are doing lots of work on it. There will be much more to come. And until then, we'll see you tomorrow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.